to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Let's take a breath together. So we're looking this month, we're wrapping it up today, talking about the shadows within the light within the shadows, the interplay. And this morning's talk title is Lights, Camera, Action. And I've just been laughing all week because I have some unique experiences with this topic. I got to, in 1987, when Dirty Dancing was being filmed in Chimney Rock, North Carolina, Lake Lure, I was the sous chef at a restaurant down there called Uncle Adam's. And so I got to cook for some of the folks there while they were filming that movie. And I got to see some of the insides of the movie making process. And then, in 1996, in my previous physical iteration, I'm sitting outside my jewelry shop at Smiley's Flea Market in Fletcher, North Carolina, minding my own business, working on a piece of jewelry, and this person is talking on the phone, and they walk past me, and they stop, and they look at me, and I hear, "I'm looking at the perfect dykes on bikes." Now, in 1986, in rural North Carolina, I'm like, okay, what is happening here? Do I need to run? Because at that time, it wasn't illegal to be gay, but enjoying it was a Class H felony. Okay. So I didn't know whether I should run, freeze, I didn't know. Turns out she was a casting director for Warner Brothers. And they were looking for people for the movie My Fellow Americans. Turns out I fit the bill for one of the bikers and wound up having Jack Lemmon on the back of my motorcycle. And got to experience the film industry even more deeply. They don't even say lights, camera, action anymore, just so you know. Nobody says that anymore. They have all these other coded stuff. But if they did, what actually happens most of the time, lights, camera, action, cut! That's what happens most of the time. 10 days, 12 hours a day for less than 30 seconds on the screen. Right? Most of us don't know that. It's mind-boggling how it all rolls out. And I've been thinking about that experience in the context of science of mind, in the context of what we teach in terms of mind, law, and form, in the context of actor, director, script writer, gaffers, all these roles that most of us know nothing about in terms of watching a movie. Very few of us, I submit, very few of us, when we walk into a theater and we're watching the movie, have zero awareness of all of the intricate details that went into making that. We're just there to enjoy the end product. Yes? Yeah. Ain't bad, ain't good, but that's why we're there. We've heard of this thing called the cutting room, right? Which doesn't exist anymore either, for the most part, because it's all digital now. Did you know that nothing that lands on that cutting room floor is ever discarded? It's not thrown away. In fact, it's all labeled, numbered, boxed up, in case they want to use it later for anything. Now, that could possibly parallel with the concept that we talk about of the collective consciousness. Every thought that has ever been thunk is still there. You cannot have a thought in eternality and ever throw anything away. Because the minute we could actually discard some part of eternality, eternality by definition ceases to exist. Yes? Just saying. Right? So we have this whole of existence, cutting room floor storage, if you will, of every experience, of every thought. What a mess. Yeah, when we really start letting that sink in, it's like, oh crap. And then again, oh wow. The reason I bring that up, we can't do anything about what we've already put there other than shift our thinking, right? Empower what we want. What we can do is neutralize what's there. Ernest Holmes didn't talk about eliminating it. He talked about neutralizing it. Neutralizing is literally to remove the power. Doesn't remove it from existence. It just removes the power. Right? When you turn off the light switch, you don't remove the lights from your home. You remove the power from them. And voila, they go out. Right? So what if, and notice, that takes an action. Right? You can stand there and stare at the light switch until you can't stare anymore. And you can think, off, 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 off. Let me know how that works. Right? I suspect you will go out before the lights do. Right? We have to take action. My understanding, because I've never written a script, but my understanding is that that script is an evolving thing. I can tell you that directing is evolutionary. Right? Because when we would show up on set, there was a plan of what was going to happen. And then, in Western North Carolina, the clouds decided to leak. Well, that kind of changed things for the day. And it actually changed things for the whole movie, because the director noticed he liked the pavement better wet than he did dry. So even after it rained, now we had fire trucks on set spraying down the roads. Right? It changes. It evolves. What if we assume the role first of the script writer? That we understand that the script writing is our thought. That the direction, the production, is the realm of law. That it literally has unfettered access, not only to the cutting room bins, but to infinite imagination. That it has access to an internal knowledge, that it knows the street looks different wet. And so the activity of law unfolds the script in a way that we didn't imagine it when we wrote it. That we have the idea, and then we pay attention to how law begins to unfold things. Now we're at choice. We can dig in our heels and say, nope, I wrote the script this way. This is exactly how it's going to happen. I don't care if it lands on the cutting room floor or not. We can do that. Or we can go, huh, didn't see that coming. And we can lean into it. And we might, just maybe, wind up with a production that changes lives if we're willing to shift. Maybe. Maybe our human brain doesn't have all the answers. Maybe it has some ideas. Maybe it has some answers. And maybe the whole organism, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the physical, when we bring it all together, it's kind of like the whole crew in the movie, right? You got set designers, you have set builders. There's so much going on. What if you don't have just one role? Okay. What if today you're starring in your movie and tomorrow you're an extra in somebody else's? Are you willing to be that? What if today you're the director and tomorrow you drove in the fire truck to wet down the roads? What if? What if we don't have to be the star for the movie to be amazing, right? We have a script. It's a very short script. A world that works for everyone. Imagine that as a movie script. That's the only script. A world that works for everyone. And the activity of law has received that script and has begun production. Because it has. It's that instant. We get stuck in waiting for the movie to come out. And we forget that we're in it. Right? As long as humanity is evolving, perhaps this particular movie doesn't have a release date. Perhaps it's just the movie that we're in. I've been watching some conversation online, pushing back against people's use of terminology that they disagree with. Whether it's white supremacy, racism, homophobia, right? Simply using the words, somehow, we shouldn't do that. Okay. That's their perspective. They get to have that. What strikes me is that the conversation started with, our organization used to be positive, and now we do all of this. And the whole thing after that was a whole criticism. And I thought, so from my human perspective, we're talking about positivity, and yet we're being very critical and negative doing it. How's that work? How's that work? It doesn't. But it is evidence of what happens in our consciousness. See, it's not about what we want to create, it's about where we're creating it from. Right? You can have any thought you want, and if the sponsoring thought, if the deeper thought is in opposition, that's the one that law is working with, not the one that comes out of your mouth. The deeply held, unexamined belief that you're speaking from. In indigenous cultures, the native languages typically have no word for not. doesn't exist in their language, because they understand to speak affirmatively, one has no use for the word not. There's lots of studies that show our brain, while it recognizes the word grammatically, doesn't recognize the concept of not. Right? Anybody got kids? How well did it work to tell them not to do something? Right? Because all they heard was, go do that. Do not jump on the bed. All those little brains heard was, jump on the bed. Got it. So when we're launching into this don't do something, we should stop being surprised when that's the very thing that people do. What do we want instead? That's where the gold is. And I'm going to encourage you and invite you to move even beyond any set idea to really living in infinite possibility. To let go of the coulda, woulda, shoulda, and just live in the could. What could it be? Instead of what would a world that works for everybody look like, because there's a limitation in that, right? I can only speak to what I think it should be. But what if, when we see something that doesn't work for us, what if we simply leaned into the question, what could a world that works for everyone look like if everybody was fed? Could a world that works for everyone include everybody being treated equally? Could it? What could a world that works for everyone look like? And then listen, because it's right in front of us. See, that's the beauty of the activity of law. There's no waiting period. The minute whoever at Centers for Spiritual Living decided that this was our organizational vision, to create a world that works for everyone, law immediately said, done. And it is. The challenge is, now we have to excavate all the garbage that keeps it hidden. Right? And it really is an excavation. And so instead of us deciding from our collective consciousness what it should look like, what could it look like? And allow the imagination to inform us. And then do that. That's your role that day. See, in this movie, this thing called life, our roles are constantly shifting and changing. And so when you bump up against something, well, what could a world that works for everyone look like that's different than this? Listen, and then go be that. Don't worry about changing other people. Change you. Because if you change you, the relationship has to change. Right? When it rained, it changed the pavement. When the pavement changed, it changed how the director saw the whole scene. And that changed the whole movie. Just change what is in front of you to change. The simplicity of this teaching is so available. And when we get stuck from the neck up, we trap ourselves. It's so simple. Play with infinite possibility. Light. Infinite possibility. Action. Listen. And then be that. The camera is taking care of itself. That's the collective consciousness, right? Life is recording everything we do. Do what you want to be recorded. Right? Understand the camera never goes off. The microphone is always recording. Add to the mix what you want to hear back. What is that phrase? Make your words juicy because you may be eating them soon. Right? Really? That's how it works. And pay attention to whatever is operating inside of you that makes you think it's your job to change other people in the first place. Just saying, there could potentially, possibly, in some way, in some realm, be some arrogance involved in that. Could be. I'm not saying, I'm not judging, I'm just saying it could possibly happen that way. And if we understand our oneness, if we understand we really are already equal being of the same value, if we understand free will and the power of choice, we'd stop trying to change each other. Because I don't know about you, but when I was busy trying to change other people, I certainly did not want you to change me. Notice that? I'm all about changing you, but I'm off limits. I'm just saying, we might have a double standard there. We could. All right. So, life is a film. This thing called life, it's the greatest movie you're ever going to be in. It doesn't have a release date because it's never going to end. It's all about the filming. It's all about the participation. It's all about our relationship. You are the script writer. You are every role in the production. You are the star, and then you're the supporting cast. You're all of it. And you get to choose. And you get to listen. And it gets to be messy. You know, we and really, I am a firm believer, if we're not having those moments where we're like, oh Lord, we are not paying attention. If you're not laughing about this human experience, you are not paying attention. Because we're funny. We do ridiculous things and call it smart. Right? Hold it lightly. Hold it lightly. Maybe it's a comedy today. Maybe tomorrow it's a tragedy. Maybe it's a tragic comedy. Maybe it's a musical. Maybe it's a sporting event. Maybe. Because it is. Let it be fluid. Let yourself show up. I love the lines in that song. What is it? I am not afraid to be seen. I offer no apology. This is me. Live that movie. Live that movie. And let everybody else have theirs. Let's take this into prayer. As I recognize, know again that there is only one, I know that I must be that. All that it is itself as creation. And so what is true of me must be true of all life. True of this microphone I'm speaking in. True of the floor I'm standing on. True of each individualized expression as a person, as a pet, as a mineral, as a gas, as the unseen darkness, as the shadows, as the interplay and relationship of all of it together. All God. all spirit, by whatever name we call it, it's all that. And so I speak my word, claiming and affirming that we each are awakened to the reality that this thing called life is the greatest reality show available. That we get to write the script. That we get to direct. That we get to be led and we get to lead. That we get to be the light and the shadows. And mostly, we get to choose. And so I claim and affirm that each of us stands in the responsibility, the ability within each of us to respond as choice, consciously, intentionally, unapologetically, to choose, and to choose, and to choose again. So grateful to know that it's already done, that there is no waiting period in the creative process, and that each of us controls our revelation of the creation as we choose. Grateful, grateful, grateful that the word cannot return void. So it is always responded to yes, and immediately so. Feeling the gratitude, I celebrate. Knowing it's already done, I let go. I let it be, and I get about the business of listening and acting from my essence, from the spiritual truth of me, from that clarity, I let it be, and so it is. I love you.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, ColumbiaCSL.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@ColumbiaCSL.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.